The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into NFL Live on this Friday with Jeff Darlington, Damian Woody, and Mike Tannenbaum. I am Dan Graziano, and it was almost 1 year ago that former MVP quarterback Cam Newton suffered a foot injury in Carolina's third preseason game. The game was against the Patriots. Newton started the season as the Panthers quarterback, but the foot had other ideas. He played in just two games, and in November, the Panthers put him on injured reserve. Panthers released Newton in March after nine seasons in which he became the franchise's all-time leader in both passing and rushing touchdowns. Then last month, Newton signed a one-year deal with those same Patriots who, of course, lost Tom Brady to free agency in March. Now in New England, Newton is expected to compete with Jarrett Stidham for the starting role this season. Interestingly, both are former Auburn quarterbacks, but that's about where the similarities end. Newton, 124 career starts compared to Stidham, who has zero. Earlier today, Newton met with the media for the first time as a Patriot.
Man, this whole process has just been, you know, amazing. Just to be around, you know, these guys and trying to understand as much as possible, like I say, in this short period of time. One thing that, you know, Coach Belichick does do a great job is it's setting the tone early, and you're going to know certain things and how it's done, you know, at a sooner rate rather than later. And I don't think nobody's expectations will ever surpass my expectations for myself. And I'm just looking forward to the challenge and, you know, knowing and picking up this whole system, not only the philosophical way of the offense, but also, you know, how things are ran. At this particular point in time, sir, I'm full go.
All right, so we're full go here on NFL Live. Damian, I want to start with you. You have some experience up there knowing how things are run in Foxborough. What stood out for you when you listened to Cam today?
Well, the first thing that stood out was his little Red Robin Hood look that he had on during that press conference. But I think that you saw a little bit of that Belichickian Patriot way with Cam. You know, it was subdued. It was, you know, he didn't get anything outlandish. He just talked about, you know, the opportunity that it presented itself with the Patriots. And it's just all about the team. You know, that's the whole thing with the Patriot way is it's just focus on you doing your job and taking advantage of the opportunity that's in front of you. And I think Cam is excited about doing that.
Yeah, I agree with Damian. When you look at this is a fresh beginning for Cam Newton. As you alluded to earlier, Dan, he only played in two games last year, so he hasn't played football in a long time. And you want to rejuvenate your career, no better place than the New England Patriots. I think their offense is going to be really fascinating to follow in terms of its diversity and a number of different ways they'll be able to attack their opponents. And a lot of people talked about his contract and was it under market. Everything about this year is investing. He's investing in his future. If he plays well, he'll be richly rewarded. So I think he got off to a really good start. He's just trying to follow the lead of a lot of his teammates. And he just has to stack one good day on top of the other. And I agree with D. Wood. It sounded like he was a Patriot the way he spoke just a couple hours ago.
I'm less interested about hearing the way he speaks and seeing the way he acts. And look, I actually think this is a really good potential marriage here. This seems like an answer for both sides to try to get past what both sides have gone through in the past year. But we're still talking about a guy who, quite honestly, like, I know this is becoming a little bit of a cliche narrative when it comes to Cam, but he doesn't take losses very well. And I understand that no player, no good athlete should ever take losses well. But it will be very interesting to see how on Monday morning, when Cam shows up, if the criticism starts coming in hard from Belichick, how he'll respond. I'm not saying that they can't figure this out. And maybe the things you guys are talking about, Mike T specifically, about that motivation that he has will propel him to be okay here. I'm fascinated by the marriage, and I'm very curious to see if it does, in fact, work.
But Jeff, you know, what's interesting about, you talk about the way he acts, players gravitate to the players they believe give the best chance to win. And it's going to take about 10 minutes for them to see that it's going to be Cam Newton and not Brian Hoyer or Jarrett Stidham. And it's going to be a different offense than they've known for the last 19 years. But I think quickly, especially those offensive players, will gravitate to Cam because he is a hard worker, he is talented, and they will quickly see they have a great opportunity this year, despite all the losses they've had, all the COVID opt-outs, that a healthy Cam Newton makes this offense very formidable. And because of that, I think leadership will just gradually come to him because players will follow the players they believe give them a chance to win.
Yeah, Mike, I think that's one of the most important things you said, a healthy Cam Newton. And the last thing we heard him say there was that he's full go. Obviously a big deal. The reason he waited so long to sign is because teams had concerns about shoulder and foot issues that he has had. If Cam is good to go, New England hasn't had a quarterback like him before. The team record, the New England Patriots team record for rushing yards by a quarterback in a season is Steve Grogan's 539 in 1978. Newton has reached that total six times in his career. We have breaking news now on NFL Live. Giants cornerback DeAndre Baker has been charged with four counts of robbery with a firearm, stemming from an incident at a party in Florida during the offseason. If convicted, Baker faces a mandatory minimum sentence of 10 years and up to life in state prison. Seahawks cornerback Quentin Dunbar also attended the party and was allegedly involved in the incident. A league spokesperson told ESPN's Brady Henderson that Dunbar's situation remains under review. Both players have been out on bond.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tennessee Titans outside linebacker Vic Beasley showed up for work Friday morning. First time Beasley's been to camp since it opened 10 days ago, and those 10 missed days mean the Titans can fine him as much as $500,000. Now that he's there, Beasley has to submit to COVID-19 testing, just like everyone else did. He needs three negative tests over the next 4 days, and he can enter the facility and join his teammates for practice. Beasley signed a one-year deal with the Titans in March. Did not opt out of the season. A lot of guys did. The deadline for opting out of the 2020 season due to COVID-19 concerns passed yesterday. There were 67 total players that opted out, and the Patriots had the most of any team with eight. Chargers, Falcons, and Steelers didn't have any. And here are some of the notable names that opted out, including three Patriots starters and two starters from the defending champion Chiefs. And in case you're wondering on the opt-out deadline, if you opted out, you can't opt back in, but if you didn't opt out and you want to change your mind, there are two exceptions that would allow for it. One, if you receive a new diagnosis that puts you in a high-risk category, or two, if a member of your family were to die or to become hospitalized due to COVID-19, you would be able to opt out. Looking at the opt-outs, there were 31 linemen that opted out of the 2020 season, including 11 offensive tackles, tied for the most of any position. Look at the 31 linemen that opted out, including Nate Solder, Juwan James, and Marcus Cannon. The Cleveland Browns had the second most players opt out of any team. They had five, and all of them were linemen. A couple weeks ago on a conference call, Browns center and NFLPA president J.C. Treader said his job would be more dangerous than ever this season. It's not hard to see why. The interior offensive and defensive linemen are the guys who are breathing right in each other's faces on every play. And Damian, of course, you know that extremely well, having spent 12 seasons as an NFL offensive lineman. How does the threat of COVID-19 impact the style of play we might see in the trenches?
Well, listen, with this whole pandemic, think about it. You know, with offensive line play, you're trying to get five guys to play as one. So we've had a truncated offseason where we've had no offseason program, no OTAs, no mini camps. So this is the first time these guys are going to be able to play together. And for some of these teams, I'll give you an example, like the Jets, they're bringing in four new guys to start on the offensive line. And that's going to make for a tall task to try to build that cohesion and chemistry. And, you know, that's going to be a problem along the league. I think the first month, maybe more, it's just going to be like an extended preseason. Guys got to get acclimated. So it's going to be, might be a little, looking a little bit rough for the whole league for the early part of the season.
Yeah, I agree with D. Wood. I think when we look at this season, it's going to be 16 one-week stories, and there's going to be some inevitable bumps in the road. But when we talk about that list, there's some really quality tackles. Juwan James of Denver, Nate Solder, he's been up and down the Giants, but he's been a good tackle for a long time. And Marcus Cannon, the starting right tackle of the New England Patriots. Those are three high-quality offensive tackles, and they don't grow on trees. And to try to replace them in August right now is going to be very difficult. But I don't think we've seen the end of the story. We're going to see other, again, bumps in the road when players test positive during the season. But offensive linemen, they're hard to find. And I agree with what D. Wood said, which is cohesion is so important. And I really think we're going to be in a week-to-week existence, and that's going to put even more pressure on these offensive linemen and offensive line coaches.
You look at that list of offensive linemen that opted out, you find four Pro Bowl appearances and seven Super Bowl rings, including the one that Laurent Duvernay-Tardif won with the Chiefs just a few months ago. Here's a look at the confirmed cases in the four major sports that have been made public. According to the NFL Players Association, the NFL has had 56 players test positive since camps opened. Of course, that's guys that showed up with the virus as opposed to contracting it in camp. We'll see how those numbers change as we go along. Yesterday, Steelers coach Mike Tomlin was asked about his confidence level in the NFL avoiding what's happened with Major League Baseball.
I don't know that I'm extremely confident. I respect the challenges that this circumstances has presented to other leagues, some of which we're witnessing. I think we're all, you know, proceeding with caution and working extremely hard not to become part of that. We're working our tails off to adhere to it and hoping that is enough, coupled with obviously personal decision making that needs to be exhibited continually by our guys throughout the course of this.
Happy to be joined now by ESPN injury analyst Stefania Bell, joining us by phone. Stefania, of course, has been in touch with team doctors and medical personnel around the league, as she always is. Stefania, we're not going to see a bubble set up like we see in Major League Baseball or the NBA, but we saw a little bit there in terms of how teams are keeping their facilities a little bit like a bubble. What more can you tell us about that?
It's really all about minimizing exposure. So currently they're in this daily testing phase, and the players and the staff have to have negative test results to even enter the building. And then areas are restricted based on a tier system. So tier one being players and essential personnel, and everybody else is sort of kept away from those folks. And then it's about touch points, trying to keep touch points as clean as possible. So a lot of the entries to the facility have become automated. There's physical distancing in the locker room where you either have 6 feet and or plexiglass separators. The strength and conditioning are working out with groups in very small numbers. The training room has to have appointments. I mean, that's something that we really never saw before. So it's really about containing spread. And to that end, if someone should develop symptoms once they're inside the facility, they have to report it right away to the head athletic trainer or team physician, and they are immediately isolated, placed in a mask, and as soon as it's safe, quarantined, transported out of the facility.
Stefania, obviously the COVID-19 preparations have dominated a lot of the coverage, and justifiably so, but we're coming off an offseason with no OTAs or mini camps. We're heading into a training camp with a long ramp-up period. Are there medical concerns that these teams have that have nothing to do with COVID-19?
Absolutely. You know, musculoskeletal injuries are a part of football. It's always something that the league, through their health and safety committees and the Players Association, are trying to minimize. And they've been working on doing research to try and find out where they can make improvements. One of the things they found is that during training camp, around the second week, there tends to be a spike in injury, particularly lower extremity injuries, soft tissue injuries, things like hamstring strains, ankle sprains, knee ligament injuries. And the preparations they might make to try and adjust for that have been thrown off a bit by this pandemic. You've got players coming in from various backgrounds of training in this offseason. Some had no facilities where they could work out. Some had home gyms. So the goal early in camp is to try and get everyone up to par on strength and conditioning, then adapt them to football activity, and then ultimately the last phase is contact. But I can tell you that clubs are very concerned about the potential for musculoskeletal injury increase given this altered season.
Stefania, great stuff. Thank you very much, as always. Obviously, Stefania will be keeping us updated on all the important medical information around the league all through training camp and the season. Mike Tannenbaum, what else do you have on this?
Well, from a roster construction standpoint, we heard Stefania talk about all the concerns that the medical staffs have. That translates to roster construction, and look for the premium to be put on veteran players, specifically at the quarterback position. We can look at players like Josh McCown. They've become a lot more valuable. You know, we've heard reportedly that the Baltimore Ravens are going to look at keeping three quarterbacks. We've heard Bruce Arians talk about possibly keeping a quarterback in quarantine. So because of all the uncertainty due to the pandemic, look for veteran players who know the system, who could be plugged in and play right away, for them to have more value as we get down to the roster cutdowns, especially when we focus in on the quarterback position.
You know, it's interesting too, Mike. I've been talking to a number of players who, especially the younger ones that maybe don't have kids that haven't been in school. So like the guys who have the freedom to do this have been so focused on working out all offseason because they haven't had anywhere to go or anything else to do. I actually find that somewhat interesting, and I'm curious to see if these guys actually enter camp in maybe better shape than they ever have before. Now, to Stefania's point, it's different to just be in really good shape and football shape, and that's part of the reason why a lot of these players were really advocating for that slow ramp-up period. We heard that as a point of contention between the NFL and the NFLPA. The NFLPA essentially saying, hey, we need an acclimation period here that lasts, at one point they were saying 21 days. They ended up, I think, Dan, you could correct me here, almost 2 weeks of a ramp-up period before they eventually get into strength and conditioning and what will look like OTAs and then contact. So without a doubt, it's going to be important for these guys to be in football shape, but I do think they're going to be in very good physical shape coming into camp.
Obviously, a football shape, the reason that everybody was pushing for that long ramp-up period that Stefania talked about in training camp, a lot of time before they're ever even on the field together.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You know, Cam Newton had some years in Carolina where he was a pretty helpful fantasy football quarterback. Looking to see if he can recapture the old magic now that he's back with the Patriots, but the guy in the Patriots quarterback room that no one is talking about is veteran backup Brian Hoyer, who was asked today if he believes he's competing for that starting job.
For me, you're competing every day you go out. I mean, regardless of what the spot is, it's always a competition. And Bill said that, you know, numerous times you're going to earn what you get. So for me, it doesn't matter if there's 15 guys in the room. I'm always competing. When Tom was here, I was competing for the starting job, too. Now, you know, I was probably never going to get that, but I always competed like I was going to try to beat him out. And that's the only thing that I could do to make myself better. So I think, you know, the more, you know, good players you add to a room, a group, offense, defense, team, it's always going to rise the level of everyone else up. So it's something that I've, you know, taken a part of before, and it's something that I look forward to.
I'm definitely ready. You know, I think I've, you know, I've put in a lot of work this offseason to really improve mentally, physically, you know, in a lot of different areas. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm extremely excited to compete with Cam and Hoy, you know, as we go forward in training camp and get into the season and things like that. So I'm really looking forward to the competition.
You compete every year. It doesn't matter how much a person's paid, doesn't matter how much a person's experienced, doesn't matter how much a person, you know, knows or doesn't know. I think, you know, we're all are competing each and every day. And, you know, I've been competing every single day, you know, didn't matter what the team was, you know, because at the end of the day, if you're one game away, as I've learned in this past year, and at the end of the day, it's just about, like I say, proving your worth and doing your part.
Please now to welcome ESPN Patriots reporter Mike Reese. Mike, you were on that conference call, video conference today. What was your main takeaway from listening to Cam Newton today?
Dan, it was how excited he is to be a Patriot. He told the story about how he's been putting on these shirts and he has to pinch himself. He said at some point it's going to become a reality to him. He used terms like breath of fresh air and still surreal. And remember what he said when the Patriots first showed interest. He had asked the question, wait a minute, how am I going to mesh with Bill Belichick? He answered that question as well.
Listen, there's a lot of things that I'll just say that there's a perception, but at the end of the day, you know, it's football. I've loved it ever since I've been here. You know, I've been here going on a week now. And, you know, just, you know, you hear rumors about certain things, but, you know, once you finally get settled in on things like that, you know, none of that really matters. It's just all about, you know, finding a way to prove your worth on a team.
Dan, I want to give you a feel of how big this was here in Boston. This idea of who's going to replace Tom Brady. We had three television stations run that video conference live as it was taking place. There were 84 participants on the video conference. Nothing bigger right now than Cam Newton in New England.
No doubt about that, Mike, and I'm sure obviously that'll be the story everyone's following throughout camp. But I did want to ask you a non-quarterback question, if that's all right. We've been talking about the Patriots having a league-high eight players opting out, including some big names on defense, Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung. I know the silver lining of this is they pick up some cap space, and there are some interesting free agent defensive players kind of still kicking around. What do you think the chances are the Patriots go out and bring in some reinforcements? An edge rusher or two is out there, like a Clowney or an Everson Griffin, a free agent Logan Ryan, an old friend of theirs. I mean, some interesting names still out there.
Yeah, Dan, this is a question right in Bill Belichick's wheelhouse. He loves to deflect away from the quarterbacks and talk about the full team. And you bring up a great point, because the Patriots still have five roster spots that they can fill. They're under the 80-man limit that they had previously cut down to because of all these opt-outs. They are likely going to fill at least a few of those spots. With whom is the big question. I would say a couple spots to look for. Linebacker, you mentioned Hightower, key loss for them, and tight end, where they're not just thin, but very young. So those would be two spots that I would look for the Patriots to possibly address.
Bill Belichick always on the lookout for roster improvements, no matter what time of year. No matter what time of year, it's always great to hear from Mike Reese on the Patriots. Mike, thanks for joining us on NFL Live. You know, between Tom Brady and Dante Hightower, the Patriots joined the Chargers and Buccaneers. They're the only teams in the league to lose their primary starting quarterback and a defensive captain in 2019. Interesting. In Newton's first five seasons, he led all NFL quarterbacks in rushing yards, rushing touchdowns, and yards after contact, although over the last four seasons, those numbers have all dropped. Injuries and fewer games played obviously factors there. One thing has not changed, though, is that ability to pick up yards after contact. Here is what former Carolina offensive coordinator Norv Turner had to say about Cam going to New England.
When you talk about Cam, you got to look at, you know, the things he can do, the designed runs. And I don't think you have to do a lot of them, but I think if you do just enough and sprinkle it in, you give the defense something they have to prepare for. And then the threat that I always thought was Cam's biggest threat was when the play broke down and he was able to take off and run, and particularly on third down, and get those big first downs on third down. And he, you know, through the first part of the season, he was very successful doing that. I think the biggest issue I would have is his health, and I would have to think that New England, before they signed him, you know, were pretty darn thorough in terms of making sure they knew he was healthy.
Damian, you played in that Patriots offense, and obviously they didn't design a lot of runs for Tom Brady. That's not among his outstanding gifts. But do you imagine that they will design a bunch of runs for Cam Newton if he's the quarterback?
Absolutely. One of the reasons why Cam Newton is in New England is because of how he played against the New England Patriots. I think Bill Belichick's admiration for Cam's overall game, both running and throwing the football, it lends itself to believe that they're going to scheme a lot of things as far as Cam Newton and being able to utilize his legs. Remember, Josh McDaniels coached, you know, Tim Tebow out in Denver. So this is a team that's adept at changing things from week to week, month to month, season to season. And I just think that Cam Newton brings a different element to the New England Patriots now, particularly in the run game. No longer when you run the ball in New England is it 10 on 11. It's now 11 on 11 football, and that changed the numbers dramatically. So I expect to see Cam Newton being heavily utilized in the running game as well.
Mike, do your time with the Dolphins and the Jets. You've seen an awful lot of the Patriots offense under Josh McDaniels. What intrigues you the most about pairing Cam with Josh McDaniels in New England?
Yeah, Dan, let's go to opening day. You got Brian Flores, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, going up to Foxborough. And let's put ourselves in his shoes, and D. Wood just alluded to it. What are you preparing for? What an interesting offense, because you're going to have parts of that Josh McDaniels, Tim Tebow, Denver, and some of those wrinkles. You'll go back to North Turner and all the success they had together in 2018 in Carolina, quarterback runs, play action. And then you have that 19-year juggernaut of the New England Patriot offense where in the passing game, running backs are utilized, production out of the slot receiver, production out of the tight ends. And it's going to be sort of that amalgamation of those three offenses that are going to be a big challenge. And if you're the Dolphins coming up to Foxborough on opening day, there is no tape. There is no preseason games. I'm very intrigued to see how this goes. And as it's going to be new for Cam Newton and the Patriots, it puts a lot of pressure on the opposing defenses as well.
That is an interesting point. We'll talk about, I'm sure, in the coming weeks, how is anybody going to scout anybody this preseason. But in terms of the Patriots, Jeff, do you think this is more about Belichick and McDaniels adapting to having Cam Newton on their team, or is it about Newton having to adapt to the Patriots' offense?
By the way, I guess Jared Stidham has no chance of being the starter week one. I thought he was still the guy who has in a competition here with Cam Newton. But look, I do think that Cam holds a crazy edge if he can stay healthy. And we talk about all of the elements in play here, the meshing with Bill Belichick. Can he stay healthy? Which, by the way, is the only thing that's really kept him from being the 2015 MVP that he once was, that health issue. And then, of course, another question that we have to wonder about here is what kind of talent does he have around him? Tom Brady left for a reason, and it wasn't just because he wanted a new change of scenery. It was also because he didn't see anything other than a bare cupboard in New England. You know, he came out of this past year thinking that they needed improvements, and they didn't really make that many. So, look, I know we want to just expect Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels to be magicians, and they often are to the best that anybody does it. But I still think that is important to remember that this roster is not exactly chock full of talent right now. It's going to be a challenge for whoever the quarterback is in there. That being said, Cam Newton at his best is among the most talented football players in the world.
Listen, I think the big point here is Cam Newton healthy. If Cam Newton is healthy, Josh McDaniel and Bill Belichick has a weapon that they haven't had in New England at the quarterback position that can do multiple things. That should be exciting. I'll tell you who else should be excited is Sony Michel, James White, Rex Burkhead, because I think the running backs are going to really excel, you know, with a guy like Cam Newton at the quarterback position. Because, again, I go back to the running game. Not only is it it's 11-on-11 football right now. It's just a different mindset. It's a different game to opposing defenses. And I think those guys are going to they're going to eat off of the fact that they got Cam Newton at the quarterback position.
You know, Cam Newton has the third most rushing yards by a quarterback in NFL history, trailing only Michael Vick and Randall Cunningham. So some pretty good names there in terms of running quarterbacks.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Today on NFL Live, Cam Newton speaking for the first time to the media today as a member of the New England Patriot. During his remarks, he recalled a conversation he had with Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman on the complexity of the New England offense.
Being around, you know, these guys and trying to understand as much as possible, like I say, in this short period of time. And yeah, that's what he said. First time I called him, you know, we were both excited just to be on the phone with each other. Then all of a sudden he just said, "Hey bro, this explicit is calculus." And he said it, and it was just, you know, funny. It was just from that whole 15 minute conversation. That's the only thing that I just remember, calculus. So, you know, at the end of the day, football is still football. And, you know, you just can't make too much on it than what it already is.
I'm guessing he didn't say explicit, but we'll give Cam a pass on that. Maybe his memory a little fuzzy. The loss of Tom Brady and another strong offseason by the Buffalo Bills had people thinking the Patriots' run of AFC East dominance might be over. But then came Cam Newton, and maybe that changes things. We're going to ask these guys. We're going to put the AFC East under the microscope with a little exercise we like to call Take Your Pick. And Mike, our former GM, we're going to start with you. Which AFC East team, you're well familiar with who they are, has the best quarterback situation?
Theme of the show, the New England Patriots. A healthy and rejuvenated Cam Newton. I like the other two guys they have, Brian Hoyer, a smart veteran player, and Jarrett Stidham, a young up-and-comer. So for this year, I really like their situation. And if Cam Newton stays healthy, look out, New England's going to be a very dangerous team.
All right, so that's quarterbacks. Damian, which AFC East team has the best running back situation?
I'm going with the New England Patriots. I mean, listen, you talk about Sony Michel and his ability to run between the tackles, and James White, the guy that's just a tremendous receiving threat for years now for the New England Patriots, a matchup nightmare, and Rex Burkhead, he gives you a little bit of both. So when you talk about the New England Patriots, in their running back position, it's one of the deepest positions in football.
Well, listening to you guys, this all sounds great for the Patriots, right? Everything, the quarterbacks, running backs, everything's all set.
It's
Jeff,
exhausting.
Can you keep it going? I mean, which AFC East team has the best pass catchers?
Not even close, by the way. I mean, Tom Brady left for a reason. They don't have the greatest of all time anymore because the coverage was bare. What is going on the show today? Okay. What are we talking about? The Bills.
The best pass catchers.
Is it the Bills? Without question. Right. One of the best in the NFL. It's not even close. Brandon Bean has done an exceptional job in the last 2 years constructing this wide receiver group. They got Stephon Diggs. They got John Brown, who can extend the field as well, and Cole Beasley in the slot. I dare you to come at me and suggest that the New England Patriots, perhaps, have a better wide receiving group. That is the Buffalo Bills, and we'll talk about them also winning the division shortly.
Jeff Darlington fired up on NFL Live on a Friday afternoon.
Man, he's hostile.
One more for Tannenbaum. Which AFC East team has the best defense?
The Miami Dolphins, really for two reasons. You look at their secondary, they can play man-to-man with anybody. They signed Byron Jones from the Dallas Cowboys. They have Xavier Howard. They have a guy like Bobby McCain, a former corner at safety. They can really match up and play man-to-man on the back end. And then on the front end, I really like the versatility. Kyle Van Noy, former New England Patriot that Brian Flores brought down. Last year's first-round pick, Christian Wilkins. They're talented, but they're also versatile. So they should be able to rush the passer, and they can play man-to-man on the back end. And when you can do those two things, you should have a very good defense.
Damien, you look like you disagree.
Hey, is Mike T. Sanders with a straight face right now? Mike! Better than the Buffalo Bills? The Buffalo Bills like second in the league last year. I'm sorry, did Tre'Davious White opt out? I thought he opted in yesterday.
Opted in.
Yes, he did. Where's the flaw? Where's the flaw with the Bills? I know you live down in South
Carolina. Damon, we gotta get you caught for speed. You didn't have the internet for the last 2 days.
It's the Bills, by the way, the Bills.
Jeff shaking his head. Mike T, man, the Buffalo Bills. Let's get on this bandwagon, Mike T. Buffalo Bills, they're coming for you.
Got to give Mike a little bit of a break. He drafted some of these guys, right?
A little bit more consistently, I would agree.
All right, so we'll see. We'll all get to find out together, which is the fun part. But, you know, winning this division is not going to be easy. It has been Bill Belichick territory for the last 20 years. Since he arrived in Foxborough in 2000, the Patriots have the best winning percentage in the NFL, and the rest of the division is under 500. Of the 20 AFC East titles in that time, New England has won 17 of them, including an NFL record 11 straight. Those numbers don't even seem real when you say them out loud. But we're going to put a bow on this exercise. We're going to ask who wins the AFC East and why. And Jeff Darlington, I'm going to start with you because I'm pretty sure you're not going to pick the Patriots.
Well, I'm going to go with the New England Patriots here, and this is why. Because I'm not going with the Patriots, because they're not going to win the division this year. You know the last time they lost the division? It was when Tom Brady wasn't the starter, and that's what's going to happen this time around, because the Buffalo Bills are putting together one of the best young rosters. Not so young anymore. They're coming for you. They're ready for you. The AFC East will belong to the Buffalo Bills in 2020.
Damian Woody, what do you got?
Well, listen, I'm not going to be as braggadocious as my man Jeff Darlington, but I am going to pick the Bills.
Oh,
I think
two
that
for the
Sean
Bills.
McDermott and Brandon Bean has built the Buffalo Bills the right way. They got a great culture up there. They've acquired a lot of talent. The Bills were coming even with Tom Brady at quarterback in New England. So I do think they're going to win the AFC East, but the quarterback, Josh Allen, he's got to complete more passes if they're going to take that next step.
Got him into the playoffs last year. That next step would be a division title. Mike, you going to make it 3 for 3?
No
chance. I'm going to stop this Buffalo Bill bandwagon right here. And here's why. I trust Cam Newton more than Josh Allen. Josh Allen is going to have to show he can throw the ball consistently downfield, which he didn't do in Wyoming, and he hasn't done in the NFL. Cam Newton's the better player. I'm going with the New England Patriots, much to Jeff's chagrin.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So you're taking the Patriots. Patriots in the AFC East.
Absolutely.
On Thursday, WWE star Triple H joined Get Up to issue a challenge to former Colts punter Pat McAfee on behalf of Adam Cole for NXT TakeOver on August 22nd. And today, as you would expect, Pat McAfee responded.
My call out to Pat McAfee is put your money where your mouth is. Let's see how bad you are. Pat McAfee versus Adam Cole. On that stage, massive match. Let's see what you got, Pat. You think you're the tough guy? There's going to be no pads. There's going to be nobody kicking a ball. There's just going to be two guys one-on-one going at it.
2 weeks away, SummerSlam weekend, NXT TakeOver 30 Saturday night. I got 2 weeks to prepare for this guy who's been wrestling for 12 years. Over a decade, this man has been traveling around the globe wrestling. He was in Ring of Honor. He was in New Japan. He was in CZW. This guy has made a living wrestling for over a decade now. Some consider him the next Shawn Michaels, the next best wrestler of all time. And in 2 weeks, I'm going to walk in there and beat his greeting. I accept the challenge for sure.
All right, this got us thinking. If you could put two NFL players, past or present, in the ring for a match like this, Jeff, who would you pick?
No, I liked the golf match between Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, but I think it would be even better if we threw them in an octagon, got them in those little singlets and see what can happen. You got Tom Brady's pliability, you know what I mean? You got his flex, his hydration, really did do good there. Peyton Manning got a little trouble with the neck, but I think this guy could be sneaky good. He'll do anything, whatever it takes. I think he'd do some clawing. It'd be a pretty good match. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning.